is presented for entertainment purposes only.
This is the Steve Henry Show with successful entrepreneur, business coach, and author of The Playbook for Small Businesses, Steve Henry. Steve is here to help you start, grow, and succeed at business. No matter what kind of business you're in, whether you're just getting started or been at it a while, this show is all about time-tested principles, ideas, and strategies that will fire up any business venture and keep you in the game. So come on in and get ready to win. Here's Steve Henry.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Steve Henry Show, a fast-paced, interactive hour all about small business. Big news! Beginning next Saturday, I'm elated to welcome 7 new SRN stations to our live broadcast. They include Minneapolis, Colorado Springs, Seattle, San Diego, Washington, D.C., San Antonio, and Dallas-Fort Worth. We'll continue to originate the show from our flagship station here at AM 960 KKNT in Phoenix. There are several ways to contact us. To ask a question of me or my guest, we're happy to take a live on-air call. That number is 888-960-9696 or 602-508-0960. If you're feeling a bit shy, you can always call me on my personal number, 1-855-STEVE-55. That's 1-855-STEVE-55. Or post a Facebook question at The Steve Henry Show or email me at steve@thestevehenryshow.com. We'll strive to get your question on the live show. I offer my best-selling book, that's the show's Bible, The Playbook for Small Businesses, for free. Just go to thestevehenryshow.com, give us a like, and click the book. I even pay your postage. In case you missed my special guest last week, legendary broadcaster...
Matthew Downs, and this is 2020. On the ABC News Magazine, 2020, with Hugh Downs.
And I asked Hugh this question. Do you think this is a good time to start a small business, Hugh, in your opinion?
You know, almost any time is. In good times or bad times, there are people making money if they do the right things. And, you know, I don't think it's a bad time to try to start a business. And if you can just do the several things, and if you really love it, again, I say, if you feel there's any aspect of drudgery to it, back away and start some other business because it will fail.
His rosy outlook, coupled with the news that our government is one step closer to the unthinkable as the S&P rating system whacked our credit rating down a peg, left many contemplating, if I'm here and I have hope for a secured financial future, then now must be the perfect time to start a small business. The question is, does starting one from scratch or purchasing an existing business, such as a franchise, make better sense? To help us answer this question, we have on today's show an expert who's well-versed in the purchasing of franchises. He'll share with us several pre-purchase franchise pitfalls, which nobody talks about, and offer some valuable information on how to purchase an existing one for pennies on the dollar so you don't end up failing and becoming another statistic. Although the move was widely anticipated, the U.S. Treasury Department said there is no justifiable rationale for the S&P's move. Officials from the ratings company stood by their decision and laid blame where it rightfully belongs on a condescending political system that fails to adequately address deficit reduction. It's largely assumed this act of denial will become our country's new battle, the war on debt, whereby this government's financial incompetency will soon be unable to continue down a path riddled by massive borrowing. However, not before several casualties occur. And I pray one isn't you or your families. More downgrades will ultimately take the pressure off our creditors from speaking out. But with no clear agenda for debt reduction, they soon will begin with confidence to voice their dismay. What's amazing to me is these recent state of affairs has done nothing to spur the American people to act. This should have resulted in some sort of wake-up call. Fear not, my friends, for this is why I've been preaching my message of financial independence through Christian-led principles live across the country for over 6 months now. The time is now to start, grow, and succeed in your small business, and bountiful opportunities are abundant. Success, it doesn't occur when you strike oil in your backyard. Anyone can do that. For a while. It's discovered when you navigate successfully through the fires that burn in your front yard. This gives birth to staying power when times are challenging, when most businesses fail. We all need the assistance of knowledge, which translates into power, and this is what you'll get when you tune into my show every Saturday afternoon. If you desire success, you have to surround yourself with successful people. I want each and every one of you listening to know we are all of us in this battle for our financial freedom together. And I believe owning a small business versus the alternative, that's relying on the establishment, God forbid, relatives, the stock market, or friends to fund our retirement, is our only hope to providing this freedom. Today, we're going to look at why I am so confident in times like these that great businesses are made. But sadly, we must begin, though, by contrasting why 30,000 businesses fail every month in this country to why there are now more divorces as there are marriages. You're thinking, huh? I pay close attention. The divorce problem, it won't be solved in the courtroom. It's too late for that. Its potential problems must be met in the marriage chapel. It's the same as to why a business failed. That reason, it won't be found on the sign that reads closed for good. It's in the business plan and its execution. Sadly, most people don't see the warning signs ahead before committing to getting married or starting a new business. That open pit sign that lays up ahead that reads, caution, slow down. They either ignored it or they didn't see it. When you begin a new relationship, the more personal knowledge you can obtain prior to will help you make better decisions. Should I proceed? Or is her weekend gambling problem, is it only a recreational thing, like she says? Or is his 12-pack daily intake, disgusting, going to lead to bigger issues later on? Privy to the knowledge ahead of time, being made aware of the existing pitfalls and their likely outcome will save you from ending up becoming just another failed statistic. These same beginning principles must be applied when starting a business. They are the interactive lessons you won't read in a book. These vitally imperative investigative steps can only come from those who have proceeded before us, who offer their wisdom and advice, and thankfully come on to shows like this and share their knowledge. They've done what you want to do. The only difference is they're willing to share these pitfalls at their expense, not ours. My special guest today, who prefers to remain anonymous due to the delicate nature of insider content he wishes to share, is useful information you can implement to thwart off failure. I can say he's currently a multiple franchise owner in a very competitive industry and has been for years. He's agreed to come on to the Steve Henry Show today to discuss the pitfalls along with a never-before-discussed benefits to buying a franchise, both from scratch and as an existing business. Welcome, Jack, into the Steve Henry Show.
Hi, Steve.
Hello, Jack. May I call you Jack?
Yes.
Jack, I want to thank you for your insight you're about to share with the audience today. You're speaking out today for what reason?
Well, I know that franchising has become a fairly hot opportunity, or should I say something that people that may have been laid off or looking for other opportunities seems to be an exciting way to maybe be in their careers or begin their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I might be able to provide some insight in that area.
Very good. How is the franchise business? Have we seen the bottom to this downturn yet?
I don't think so. I can tell you I'm in the franchising business.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in it for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that they say we started in 07 or 08 in this downturn in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that the people I've spoken with, plus my own particular revenues and sales, are worse this year than they were in 09.
Right.
And which tells me we're not out, at least in this industry, we're not out of a recession yet.
Mm-hmm. And being on the pulse, and we take that heed, we very much so. Walk us through the process, Jack, of becoming a franchisee. What do I need? What do they look for? And what should I never divulge?
Well, I think number one, before you pick a franchise, I think you need to sit down and ask yourself, what do I really enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of different franchises out there. When I first started looking 7 years ago, absolutely amazing what's out there that can be franchised. I mean, everything from plumbing to pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that's something you've decided that you want to strike out on your own, sit down and have a serious talk with yourself and your family and decide what really interests me. If you can come to some kind of conclusion on that,
mm-hmm.
then it's time to do your research.
Okay.
It's time to get in and look at all the major players in that sector. Try to talk to people that are currently franchising in that sector. Ask them what the business is like, how difficult it's been, what it's like to be a franchisor. How is the franchisee versus franchisor
mm-hmm.
relationship? I think there's a lot you can do, but I think you have to at least walk into it understanding that this is something, at least at this point, you really, really think you'd like to do.
Mm-hmm. How do I locate the best franchise? I mean, I've been on a lot of the websites, and you're right, from pizza to plumbing to dog walking. It's incredible, the vast array of plethora of possibilities. They all paint such this rosy picture. Is there a rating agency that measures their yearly success, or how can we get a better grasp on who's legit and who's not?
Well, I there's no rating agency that I know of. I would tend to go on a website that I look that gives me all the current industry news, what's going on, good and bad, such as Blue Mama. That's BlueMamu.com or .org. Excuse me.
Now, is that an independent research firm?
Yes, everything from journalists to lawyers to. All different kinds of people write blogs in that arena. Certainly, I look to that. I also look to QSR Magazine, Quick Service Restaurant Magazine, QSR.com. You certainly, and I believe the membership's free.
Okay.
And it gives you all the latest and greatest industry, at least in the restaurant business, which is where I am. Gives you really what's going on in the entire restaurant industry from the fast service to the quick service to the sit down to there's ways of finding out exactly what you need. That's typically those two are where I go to keep informed in my industry.
What about one that has the legal process? Let's say perhaps lawsuits that are pending. Is there anyone that has a judicial background that we can check out?
You mean as a website?
Yeah.
A lot of what I have found out about different in my industry, franchising, in and around that, is most of the bloggers that I'm finding that are writing are well-known industry lawyers on the BlueMama.org website.
Blue Mama, okay, that's the best one for sure. All right, we are going to talk specifically about how to acquire a franchise in many different ways and what to look for, what not to look for, with Jack, the anonymous, successful multiple franchise owner. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the best website that I found for every available franchise for sale. If you're looking to buy a franchise, I want you to grab a pen and be ready, because when we return to the Steve Henry Show, I'm going to divulge that website that has everything that you could possibly want for sale, but I'm not going to give it to you yet. We'll be back right after this.
He's the best thing to happen to business since the invention of the secretary.
Now, he's not here. Would you stop calling?
Here's more with Steve Henry on the Steve Henry Show.
I'm going to fire her. That's what I'm going to do. How dare she? You know what? It's estimated that up to 6,800 franchises operate in the U.S. These franchises account for 850,000 franchise businesses and nearly 50% of all retail sales in the U.S. In fact, one in every 12 businesses is a franchise. Over 300 franchises are sold every week. The website that lists a comprehensive search for every franchise ever made that's for sale is www.franchise.com. That's www.franchise.com. Jack, the anonymous multiple franchiser, we are proud and absolutely happy to have you live on the phones today. We've got to get your wisdom. I'm going to drill into your skull here and get some stuff real quick. Let's go. Well, will I need, Jack, experience in the industry I'm seeking, or do these guys provide training?
Steve, most of them provide training. I think, matter of fact, I would have to say all of them do. Some extensive training, some not so extensive training.
That's kind of scary. What do you mean by that?
Well, I know that I have talked to other franchise owners that have had maybe a day at corporate and...
A day?
Yeah.
Wow.
One day at corporate and 2 or 3 days on the job, and then all of a sudden they own their own franchise and away they go. And that's real scary. Because I can tell you that I was not in the business for years that I currently am in now, and I needed a lot of help and training. And I somewhat got that training. I probably now in retrospect, I could have used more of certain kinds of training before I got it, but I've learned on the job.
That's kind of scary. You know, this is what I would do. I would covertly get a job at that franchise I wish to purchase, work there under the radar to see whether it's the right fit. I'd talk to the employees, bribe them a little bit, and get the real scoop. Do you recommend this as a practice check?
Well, I think that'd be pretty hard in this economy. Jobs are so scarce to get by. To think you might be getting a job just covertly, whatever, it might be pretty tough. But I tell you what, once you've contacted a franchisor, there's nothing wrong with asking them, just saying, listen, before I go any further with you guys, I really would like to spend a couple of days in an actual franchise. Do you have an owner out there that would be willing to let me work in their store for two or three days, and then I'll call you after I've finished. Let me see if this is something I really want to do. Let me see what the day-to-day is that I'm going to be doing. And I'm going to tell you that 90% of the time, they're going to let you do that.
Okay.
They want to give you a day in the life.
Explain the process once the contact has been made and perhaps even a contract signed. What's next? Is there a formal interview? I mean, so I approach a Shakey's Pizza. I've covertly worked there. I've got the scoop. This is where I want to be. I'm convinced now. I contact them. Perhaps we've even gone to the agreement. Is there a formal interview? I mean, do they interview you and do they just take your money?
Well, I mean, if there's any kind of an interview or whatever that's going to take place, it's going to take place before you ever sign on the dotted line. There are some franchises out there that are incredibly strict about you having some kind of industry experience, and it's not just the money. Now, there certainly are, Steve, franchises that just want your money.
Mm-hmm.
And
could you name a couple, Jack?
Right off the top of my head, I really don't know.
Okay, good answer.
I've talked to some people out there that I think they would prefer me not to say, but I think you going in, I think you're going to know if you're getting the bum's rush to sign on the dotted line and hand them a check before getting any kind of an interview, number one, to find out if you're a good candidate, being given any opportunity to work in a store and suggested by them, or any of these types of things. I think first thing you ought to do is take a step back and say, do these people really have my best interest in mind and me succeeding, or do they just want my money? And I think you're going to know that right up front within your first week of dealing with them. If they're pressuring you to get you to sign and give them money, and they're not talking to you about training and your industry background, and I'm going to tell you, Steve, that's trouble.
Right. Kind of like the marriage gang, or dating the daughter. You know, I want to meet the parents. I want to meet the owners and the founders, and even a visit to the corporate house. Do we get to do that in most franchise purchases?
Yes, absolutely. Some longer than others, but almost inevitably, you're going to be asked to come there to meet certain key individuals. Hopefully, it's also going to be part of your overall training. Typically, when they bring you to corporate, it's going to be the financial type things that you're going to learn in that arena versus being out in one of their stores or being out on the road and learning more of the day-to-day operational things.
So is it more about me becoming familiar and comfortable with them, or is it the other way around, Jack?
Well, it's got to be a marriage of both.
Right, okay. The
I think, as you said in there, just as a marriage. I think they need to be comfortable with you, and because their success of being able to collect their royalties off of you depends on your long-term success, whether it's plumbing or pizza, doesn't matter. And if you're not the right kind of a profile person that they're looking for, certainly, and just another eventually closed business, that's not going to help them. And certainly there are some franchises out there that don't care.
Okay.
They want your money up front, and if you end up closing, tough. But I don't think that's the majority of what I've seen or talked to other people.
Right.
They have as much vested interest in making this last long-term as you do.
So me as a person, I've lost my home. I've somehow scraped enough money together through friends and family. Does my credit score matter, or do I need a co-signer? Does that matter?
Well, when you're looking at doing any kind of franchise, they're not the bank. They're not the lender. They're going to want to know right off the bat, any one of them, do you have the funds to do this, or am I wasting my time here talking with you? So it's going to be somebody that's going to go to, whether it be a small business loan or directly to the bank you've banked with for years or wherever it might be. If that's your position and you don't want to spend any of your own cash and you want to go forward with trying to get a loan, that's between you and your bank. But certainly, the money's going to need to be there, and certainly that's going to be one of the questions that's going to be, you know, very upfront and forthright from the company you're looking at. Is, do you have the money, or am I wasting my time?
Right. And Ted in Phoenix is here on my private line. He's got that very question. That private line, by the way, is 1-855-STEVE-55. And Ted's question is, do any of the franchises offer their own financing, and what's the best way to raise the necessary capital?
Well, I most of the franchises that I know of, and certainly I don't know of every one of them, they're not in the banking business. Uh-huh. They're not in the financing business. I think you need to come to the table with a good bit of the money down, wherever you decided to get it, whether it be dissolving your 401k or you're down the street, your favorite banker you've banked with for 20 years decided to give you a loan. I don't think you're going to find that they're going to do much of the financing end of things.
Okay. Jack, that's great advice. And, hey, maybe you have an idea for a franchise, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe your business is doing better than most. I know I had that thought at one time. When we come back, we're going to share with you how you can start your own successful franchise. We're going to ask Jack perhaps that particular angle going into it. Many other questions. If you'd like to get a phone call into Jack the Anonymous, 602-508-0960 is your number. And don't forget, we're going to get that information from Jack on how you could franchise your business with your great idea. We'll be right back.
Turning your customers into fans. Here's Steve Henry on The Steve Henry Show.
You know, there was a study conducted by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They found that 86% of franchises opened within the past 5 years were still under the same ownership, and 97% of them were still open for business, even in this economy. Jack, where would you navigate someone who has a great gift and an idea for a franchise?
Well, as I said earlier, I think you need to look into franchises and see what you really, really want to do. And then I think the next step is to contact the people and discuss with them what you'd like to do and see if what their goals match your goals.
But if I wanted to take Desi Booze to the next level and contemplate a franchise operation or turning it into a franchise from the mom and pop that it is now, is that possible? Is that doable in today's economy?
Sure it is. If you have a great product and you have great people working for them, as I think you said last week on Hugh Downs, I don't think there's a bad time to start a business.
Mm-hmm. So I've never been a fan of franchising. I'm a self-starter kind of guy. But in doing the research for the show this week, I was so impressed by the success rate of these franchises. It's in the high 90s after 5 years compared to, say, our mom and pops, which after 5 years, it can be a dismal 35%. Why is this?
Well, certainly, I think the far majority of franchises out there have strong balance sheets. They've got the numbers behind them. They've got the marketing. They've got the real estate people. They've got the everything that needs to be done to try to make the people that come in as franchisees successful. And it brings all the things that a mom-and-pop business doesn't have. It would have to go out and individually purchase, you know, get marketing help, get a lawyer, do the other things. It's all right there as part of the bundle. It does cost money in the form of royalties.
Okay, well, let's explain those financial outlays that we can expect. Obviously, there's the initial deposit, the total franchise cost, and that never-ending one, that franchise fee and probably an advertising fee, which I'm sure, knowing most of the technology today, they ACH that thing right out of your bank account.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. What's the average deposit out there for a franchise today?
And when you say deposit, typically there's a beginning franchise fee.
Okay.
Just to get on board, to join, sort of join their organization. Sometimes it's a one-time fee. I've seen where it's an every five-year fee. I've seen where it's an every year fee.
Jeez. Now, is that prior to my commitment of a contract?
No. This is typically after you've signed a contract and you've agreed to pay all monies associated with beginning to build your franchise or assume a franchise.
Okay, so I walk in, and the initial fees, they vary from what? Give us a ballpark, if you would.
I'm going to tell you that the cheapest I've heard is somewhere in the $5,000 to $10,000 range, and I know that there's a franchise that's open beside one of my stores that's brand new. It's in the $750,000
oh,
range.
Smokes. Okay. Now, is that refundable if you go in and prior to the store opening, you realize, wow, I've made a huge mistake?
No. They're not going to give you your money back. Okay. That's why it's critical that you do your research, because unless they've made a horrible mistake on their end as the franchisor, there are no refunds.
Okay. And the total franchise cost then for, say, your particular food service store, what does that run?
Mine was, let's take a brand new store.
Okay.
I didn't assume anything. I built my store. I paid, my franchise fee was $25,000, and it cost me around $220,000 to build out the shell that was there in a strip mall.
Now, how long will it take for you to see that return?
Typically, I can tell you it's going to depend on the economy.
Sure.
Back in 2004, I'd say to make that return of those monies in about two and a half years.
Well, that's when we were all drinking champagne and eating caviar back then. But what about today?
People were spending like drunk sailors.
Yeah.
And today, I guarantee you'd be every bit of 5 years. And that's depending upon just how hard you want to work, and how hard work will get you so far. But it's got to be a combination of brains with the hard work to be able to come forth and get out of this and get through this. I'd say it's more in the 5 and 6 year range now.
So, and that's not bad. 5 years to at least break even, get your initial investment back. Now, I assume you're going to be able to pay yourself a decent salary during that duration?
Correct.
What would a decent salary be these days in the average franchise, would you say?
I'm saying if it's run properly, you could probably expect somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $65,000 a year.
Wow, that's not too bad. That's not bad. Okay, we did it. When we started Desi Booze Eatery, we bought out an existing franchisee and saved a fortune on startup costs. Here's how to locate these opportunities. Right after this break, we'll be right back.
You got the passion? He'll put it in action. Here's more to help you start, grow, and succeed in business. Steve Henry on The Steve Henry Show.
You know, it seems like the perfect time to start a small business. Perhaps you should consider buying a struggling franchise operation. When we purchased our Desi Booze Eatery from a former Quiznos franchisee, the store had already closed. His equipment investment, over $80,000. He graciously sold it to us for $15,000. Jack, how can we go about seeking out these motivated franchisees before they close their doors?
Well, I think if you found a franchise that you like, the first thing you want to do is, you know, obviously at the same time when you're talking to corporate, find out from them who's interested in selling. They usually have a list. Sometimes they don't. And if they don't, typically just by going out to one of the franchisees and asking them, do you know of anybody in town that might be interested in getting out of this business or might like to sell theirs, it's a great way to pick up a franchise that otherwise may have cost you an arm and a leg for, basically for a song.
Right. In this economy, I would imagine there's several of them out there. Is there a website, or you just basically, what you're saying is go knock on doors, interact with people, and find out who might
be? I think your best source is two things. Your best source is going to be talking to corporate, whoever the corporate partner would be, seeing if they have a list. Sometimes the franchisee does not really want corporate to know that they're ready to get out or whatever, and they may not have the best list. I have found over years here in talking to a lot of different franchisees of a lot of different franchises that it seems that Craigslist is an extremely popular place around the United States, that if somebody it's time, you know, that I want to get out of this, this is where they tend to list their franchises. Also, realty companies will take on some of the better franchisers.
Well, I'll tell you, it was definitely the best opportunity for us. It was a turnkey operation for exactly what the wife wanted to do, open up a restaurant of all things. But it was absolutely, and as it's been now 6 months, phenomenal. What happens, Jack, if the parent franchise company goes belly up?
Good question. I think there's a list of different things. One, typically they go belly up, but typically there are a lot of creditors. Those creditors, before they go belly up, typically have a big say in you know, what part of the franchise belongs to them. Does the logo, you know, does such as say Wendy's? Does the name Wendy's mm-hmm. go along with us? Typically, they're broken up. Somebody will buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I know that other franchises have been picked up by large companies, such as a Darden restaurant or a Yum brand, have been picked up and tried to be turned around. The creditors themselves may want to try to run the business.
Right, but if I bought Paul's Plumbing, I bought it for a specific reason. They're known across the country. They've got the reputation. Paul goes belly up. There, where am I?
You know, at this point, I couldn't tell you exactly. I know that the creditors are going to have a lot to say and do with mm-hmm. what happens, and certainly that, you know, it could be that you turn into a mom-and-pop
mm-hmm.
company.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine whatever logo you had that was part of the franchising agreement will have to all be taken down and stripped from the store if you want to stay in business as a mom-and-pop.
Right. Now, do they encourage multiple locations for franchisees?
Oh, yes, they do.
Now, why
is that? Especially those that have a little bit of time. Well, let me back up. Multiple franchise means multiple franchising fees for the company.
Okay.
That's the no-brainer part.
Right.
Okay? Second, those that have been in this business for a while enjoy it. They're making money at it. They're making money for the company for it. Obviously, this is a known commodity to them that has been successful and made them money.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to push those kind of people by offering sweetened deals, reduced rates, reduced fees to become multi-franchise owners.
Now, being a multi yourself, do you encourage that practice or do you discourage it?
I encourage it as long as the individual understands their limitations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking on too much. I can tell you here in the area that I live in, we had a franchisor he just went bananas. He bought one franchise, and before you knew it, within a year and a half, he had 40 of them.
Is there enough teenagers for that job?
Yeah, there are, Steve. Believe me, there are. But he's out of business.
Uh-huh.
He went completely belly up. He took on too much, too fast. I believe he was pressured by the company to continue to open stores. You know, you've got to back off and ask yourself, what is it going to take to successfully take on another one or another one?
Right. Jack, how much influence do I have in choosing my desired location? I don't want to travel or commute more than 20 miles. Do I have a say-so in this?
Oh, sure you do. I think every franchisor that I've talked to or franchisee has always told me, and the ones I'm in currently, yeah, you definitely do. Matter of fact, I would highly suggest in any of these franchising businesses, in my particular one, in the restaurant business, location, location, location.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you. You're dead in the water if you get the wrong location. I don't care how smart you are and how hard you work. It's going to be a real rough road to becoming successful if you've got a bad location.
But you have the opportunity to say, absolutely not. This is a crappy location. I don't want it. You have that option.
Absolutely, you
okay,
do.
Good. if a franchise requires you to purchase their goods as part of their franchise agreement, is there any tolerance for deviation? I mean, could we go to like a Sam's Club in the cover of darkness and save a ton of money? Or what happens if we get caught?
Well, let me start with your first part of your question. Typically, when they have that kind of an agreement, the answer is no. There's no deviation. Second, if you do it and you get caught, it could be everything from losing your franchise agreement, that means them taking your store, to something as small as maybe a $100 fine for the first couple of instances where they find something, to as much as $500 to $1,000 in further instances.
Wow.
And Steve, that's not something where you write them a check. That's where they ACH it right out of your account.
Yeah,
which nothing
I can
you
feel,
can do.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about
I
it.
I can feel the backside hurting already.
Yeah.
So if I get caught, now again, I know Sam's Club has, shall we say, franchisee day, and it's in the cover of darkness at 11 o'clock at night. I mean, I see them all in there. Everybody's doing it, aren't they, Jack?
I think there are a lot of them.
Okay.
I certainly see a lot of my my cohorts in this business in there, and
yeah.
Certainly myself too. So, but unfortunately, in today's world, when franchisors have exclusive agreements where you can only purchase food from them, that typically means a couple of things. One, they are in the business of food distribution, which is never good.
That's not exactly.
You've added a middleman, number one, in the process, and that middle person in the food distribution business is going to have to mark up that food that they've already gotten from a distributor. So typically what you're finding then is I'm dealing now with a double markup before it ever enters my store.
So you're under that auspice. You have to comply with them. They supply you with all your inventory, I assume.
If it's that kind of an agreement where they've stated that up front, as I was saying, absolutely you do. And typically what happens is two things have happened. One, they're in the food distribution business, and that's part of their revenue generation.
Sure.
And or they're not in the food distribution business, but they're getting a kickback from a company that is supplying
those
the food to you.
Rascals.
And that is another way that they're generating revenue for themselves.
So how would they find out? I mean, obviously, they know your sales. They know how much bread you should be using. I mean, they're paying close attention to the details, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, most of them are. They pay people that will do what is called audits, company audits of your franchise. And part of that audit is probably going to be looking over a certain period of time's records on your ordering, not only your books, obviously, but on your ordering habits. And certainly, if the person who's doing the audit's been in this business for a while, they're going to be able to pick that stuff up quick.
Right.
So there's not many ways around it.
Right. We've got a caller from San Diego, California. Sue is on the line. Sue, are you there for us this afternoon?
Yes. Hello, Steve.
Welcome into the Steve Henry Show. How are you doing out there today?
I'm well, thank you, Steve. I just want to say I cannot wait for your live show to be in San Diego next week.
We'll be there next week. That's right. KCBQ is the call
That's
letters
correct.
Out there. Yes. What's your question for Mr. Anonymous Jack?
Yes, sir. Well, I've never thought of approaching an existing business franchise to start up my own business.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how do you recommend approaching someone in their business about possibly buying a franchise?
You're speaking of that you'd like to start a business like that, but not particularly wanting to buy a franchise in it.
Well, possibly both.
Okay. Well, I think you just be honest. I am approached constantly by people right off the street that walk in and say, here's my situation. I either want to purchase a franchise or possibly open a business like this. Is there any way you could spare 15 minutes? I know you're a busy guy. And I'm getting, ma'am, a couple a week by people walking in and just asking me. They've been customers of mine. You know, they've come in a couple of times. They sort of look around and they sort of see how the operation runs. And then, you know, I think they go home and they think about it. They may talk to their spouse and then come in and just say, can I please steal 15 minutes of your time? And I try as much as I can. I just had two this week come in. One who had contacted our corporate franchisor and wanted to talk to me about what all was going to be involved. I had another person who had not contacted our corporate franchisor and was just thinking about going into business for himself and still wasn't even sure what he wanted to do and just said, can I spend 15 minutes with you to find out, you know, what is it that I'll need to do to be successful in whatever I decide to start? I mean, it started asking me, how many hours do you work? What all does this entail? So I've seen both sides of the issue, and you know, it just depends upon the person. I try like heck to help when I can.
You know, Sue, it sounds to me like, you know, you're interested in kind of what we did. We bought an existing franchise, turnkey. Jack, is it safe to assume the operator of a franchise owns outright their equipment of all its purchases and its assets, or are they tied to a collateralized loan by, say, like the SBA or somebody?
I've seen both, Steve. I know another franchisor who's tied to an SBA. And then certainly, if you took me, I own all my equipment.
Mm-hmm. How would we find that out? I mean, face value, or is there a way to see if, you know, it is tied to a loan or a lien of some sort, the assets of the operation?
Well, certainly they're going to have to provide it. If it's something, if it's a business that you're seriously looking into, they're going to have to provide you with the documentation that basically shows that either one, how much they owe on the entire place as a breakdown. That's going to should be a requirement, obviously, or some kind of documentation that says, you know, if you buy this business, everything in here is free and clear.
Right.
You're not going to owe anything else on it.
Right. Sue, does that answer your question, though, as far as, you know, what approach? And Craigslist was another great one that Jack had mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and Jack, you have a lot of really great information, a lot of really useful insight. My next thing is, do you plan on maybe writing a book or a blog?
Not at this point. Right now, with Marble Franchise Owning, I'm about as swamped as I can be. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I work 100 hours a week, every week.
Wow.
Sue, I appreciate the call out there from San Diego, California today. Thanks again for listening and calling into the Steve Henry Show.
Thank you.
Well, Jack, the anonymous multiple franchisor, it is coming about to the end here. I wish we had some more time. I'd like to have you back again. Maybe we can launch a book deal right here on the Steve Henry Show. There's a lot of people that probably need this information. We didn't get to all of it by any means. But again, I wanted to thank you, sir, for coming on the show today.
You're welcome.
Friends, don't miss our inaugural broadcast next Saturday as we go live on several SRN stations across the country. This explosive growth could not have been possible without our Director of Communications, Ken LeBlanc, national broadcaster and program director John Butler. Next week's in-studio guest will be Richard Federico, founder and CEO of P.F. Chang's and Payways Restaurants. And coming next month, ladies and gentlemen, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's eldest son, will join us to reinforce that message, why Christians make great small business owners. We'll see you next week.